Welcome this week in Missouri Politics. From our studios in Kansas City, we are joined by what is very likely to be the next state senator from Kansas City with huge shoes to fill, Senator Barbara Washington, elect, almost elect. Welcome to this week in Missouri Politics.
Yeah, so Democrat elect. So thank you for having me. I want to definitely clarify I'm still a representative for District 23, but definitely looking forward to hopefully moving into the Senate in, I think, what, 46 days?
Won a primary win, big win, correct?
Yes, very big win. Very surprised and grateful. My team did a lot of work. We did a lot of groundwork, socially distancing
there
to do
go.
That, but making sure that we were listening to the constituents and just continue to do the good work that I've done in District 23.
So tell folks around the state that's going to hear your name, especially as you're in the Senate a whole lot. Tell folks about yourself.
Barbara Ann Washington, Kansas City native. I've lived in what is Senate District 9 the majority of my life. I think I lived in Jersey for a year when my mom was transferred there. Went to Mizzou, the most famous and awesomest journalism school in the world, University of Missouri School of Journalism. Then went to law school here in UMKC. Been a practicing attorney for a little bit over 20 years and just always been dedicated to my community and giving back. And this was just a natural fit to move into politics.
Very big shoes to fill, filling Senator Kiki Curl's position in the Senate.
Yeah, she's on speed dial on my phone. it'll be enormous. I probably won't ever fill those shoes or those who came before her.
Well, it's Senator a tremendous Wilson. Legacy that, yeah. that has been handed down to you in this district.
It has been. But sitting down and being with her and using her as a mentor the entire 3 years that I've been in the House and even before, it helps that I've known her ever since we were small children. But to have somebody like that who's been effective, who has educated me on the importance of building relationships in the House and the Senate and with the administrative agencies has been crucial. But I'll never be able to be Senator Kiki Curls.
What part of Kansas City is your Senate district?
My district runs a little north of Independence Avenue, almost to the water, south to 435. So
you have power and light in there?
I do not have power and light. So on the west side, it stops at Troost Avenue, which
gotcha.
Is our dividing line, unfortunately, in Kansas City. And to the east, it goes a snippet of Independence, the southern half of Raytown, and a snippet of Lee Summit. So a lot of the Kansas City urban core up into the little north of 100th Street.
So your last day in the House, as far as you know, unless there's another special session, was this past week. It was kind of like a day in the Senate. The House just said no on the concurrent jurisdiction.
Yeah, I think I was prepared to be there a lot longer.
Yeah.
But we gaveled in and gaveled out. And
were you surprised?
I was surprised. However, I've been blessed to be in leadership on the Democratic side for the last couple of years. So that is what we had heard, is that we were just going to gavel in and gavel out on the special session.
Well, so what they were talking about was concurrent jurisdiction for murders in the city of St. Louis, which would have meant the attorney general could come in and do a process, take over murder cases, some of them that weren't being prosecuted.
Right.
Break me down as an attorney and as a legislator where you were going to be on that.
I was going to vote no. One, I've worked in the prosecutor's office before. Mm-hmm. I didn't prosecute murders, but I have worked in there. And I think it's a bad precedent to set because prosecutors are elected locally. Also, the 90-day stipulation is very, very quick. And it kind of, it goes perpendicular to us saying that we're having a problem with witnesses coming forward. And then we're saying that you must file something in 90 days when you need the witnesses to come forward. With your, unless you got this on camera,
yeah.
Or you have, you know,
DNA,
some other evidence,
whatever, yeah.
Then 90 days is a pretty quick turnaround to allow the police officers and the investigators to do their job to know who should be charged with a crime.
But, so let me, I think most people agree the precedent's bad. It's not something you want to do.
No.
But also the situation in the city of St. Louis is bad. You're going to be a senator. My assumption is this isn't the last we're going to hear of this. Is there a way you think that it is to allow the AG's office to come in and use the state resources to help the city of St. Louis with these murder cases?
That's already there. The prosecutors are already in a position where they can ask for help from the AG to do that. I can't speak specifically to Prosecutor Garner's relationship.
Apparently she's not. Is that, I would assume.
But, you know, I live in Kansas City where I woke up this morning to the 146th murder. Mm-hmm. 142nd murder, I'm sorry. And you didn't ask for that here. I don't want you to, but you didn't ask for that here. And mm-hmm. so This time last year, we had 112 murders. This time in 2018, we had 138 murders. So we have a problem also. So it does seem like she was singled out for her area. I think she has 194 murders or something of that nature. Our town, our city is smaller than ours. And I don't know what her relationship with asking for help has been.
Is there any scenario by which this backlog grows that you could see yourself saying, we have to address this on some level from the state?
I think that we can't say local control on one end and then jump into someone's local control. The people of St. Louis City.
So you can say you're not a Republican, because if you're a Republican, you can.
That's true. The people of St. Louis, I think she won over 60% of the vote in the primary. So I think we have to look at that. If they have a large number of unsolved, then there does need to be some sort of assistance. But not only can you ask for assistance from the AG, you can ask for assistance from other prosecutors in other areas, which I know she did that in the past. She's asked.
I've seen that.
Jean Peters Baker, who's our prosecutor, has gone down to St. Louis. In fact, in
Tim
our
Lomar
previous governor's situation, sure. I think was, and I know here locally, we have four or five counties here, and they cross reference all the time.
So tell me, with COVID, obviously it's expanding all over the area and the state. There's
correct.
A lot of rules that have been put in place in Jackson County and
yes.
in Kansas City. Overall, seems like it's flattened the curve, but the governor's let local control actually meant it, let local control happen. Do you think that's the right move, or should he reject local control there and make everybody follow the same rule?
I think it's disappointing that it's become politicized. It shouldn't be.
Sure.
And as the numbers are growing in our state, we're now a hot spot. Now I have a daughter who works back and forth between here and New York. But, you know, every time she goes to New York, she definitely has to stay for 2 weeks or more because we are now a hot spot state. I think some places where local control has been in force, where there is a mask mandate, have been positive. I think we just need to look at each individual area, but I do think if the governor set something straight, and that would give some guidance to everybody, bring people together and see what's best for the state of Missouri so that we're not, you know, we went from no cases to now being a hotspot state. We have some beautiful areas that people are going to go to for vacationing. I know I love the lake, but we have, you know, a lake in Branson. We have the Lake of the Ozarks. We have Kansas City, St. Louis. We have Hannibal. We have across 36. So we have some beautiful places. And it affects our tourism if we can't get those numbers under control. So I think the governor, you know, maybe needs a task force that addresses all that, listens to the health departments of all those communities to see what's best for the full state of Missouri.
Well, I hope you'll come back after we don't have to qualify it so many times when you're a senator and visit with
us. Yes, we don't.
Thank you very much. We'll be
Thanks for having me.
Representative Bill Kidd from Independence is going to join us on our Opinion Maker panel after this.
I've always protected and served Missouri, but Jill Shoup has a disturbing pattern of siding with criminals. Shoup defended criminal illegal immigrants and voted against tougher laws for child sex offenders. Now, radical defund the police organizations are backing her. Jill Shoup isn't on our side. Ann Wagner stands with law enforcement, partnering with us to bring dangerous criminals to justice. Ann Wagner will keep Missouri safe.
I'm Ann Wagner. I'm endorsed by our local police and firefighters, and I approve this message.
Your energy needs are changing. That's why at Ameren Missouri, we're not waiting on the future. We're building it with the Smart Energy Plan, advancing thousands of projects across the state, helping reduce emissions through cleaner energy sources, boost reliability with self-healing equipment, and better withstand storms with new composite poles. Moving Missouri forward and bringing us all a little closer together. That's energy at work. Ameren Missouri.
Welcome back to Week of Missouri Politics, Opinion Maker Panel time. We have Representative Ashley Bland Manlove from the city of Kansas City, correct?
Yes.
Welcome back to the show.
My pleasure.
And Representative Bill Kidd of Independence, welcome back, sir.
Good morning.
So you decided that, hey, we're saying no. The House is putting its foot down. I have to say, there's a normal tide to a special session like this where the House normally would pass bills like this. Walk me into how the House came to saying not this time.
Well, when we sat down and originally looked at all of these, we sent over to the Senate what we thought was going to be a reasonable way to do some of these things. And the Senate then added some things to those that when they came back, when the bill came back, they just needed some more work. There's a nice way to say that. And we didn't necessarily like the way some of it was worded, some way that it looked. And so we decided that we really needed to think and spend some time on how we did these things. you know, it's just as important to kill bad legislation as it is as important to pass good legislation. And so sometimes you need to put the brakes on and just say, whoa, wait a second here. We have unintended consequences that might happen with some of these bills, especially on some of the minor in possession of a firearm. Mm-hmm. We had unintended consequences, I think, in that. And so
concurrent jurisdiction was the main part, right? I mean, that's the one everybody was talking about. And that seems to be the one where you guys just said we're not doing it, even after the Senate PQ'd it and the governors and the attorney general was all pushing to make this happen. You said no.
Well, we had reports. One of my roommates actually called and talked to the chief of police of St. Louis, came back and said that he wasn't sure that he would use it or not. And so that created a question in my mind immediately. Sure. Is this something that St. Louis wants? Part of us, I would say a lot of us felt that if it's good enough for St. Louis, it probably needs to be good enough for the state.
That would have been a bigger problem. Representative, you have to be sitting in this chamber. You're an experienced legislator now. You have to think, okay, they're going to say they're not going to pass it, and they're just going to pass it, right?
That's
Were
what
you
I
surprised?
Thought. I was... genuinely surprised. That's my first time seeing signed I used, so I actually had to be kind of briefed on what was going on. But you know, when you have this legislation that isn't solid, doesn't actually help, and you know, we saw the Senate first sent over that huge omnibus bills, and then it happened to be broken down because bills are only supposed to have one topic. So having it broken down into the six smaller bills, and then, you know, it goes back over to the Senate, and then they have to add on to it. So that means it's got to come back to the House, and we were just going to ping pong it back and forth. So I'm glad. I'm actually proud of the Speaker for stepping up and just shutting it down, because this was not a productive conversation to actually fix crime in Missouri.
You're one of the more thoughtful legislators that I know. There's a problem with St. Louis with crime, with murders. Mm-hmm. The Kansas City's having an issue on a different scale, probably.
We're only about 10 murders behind.
Give me what is some actual concrete that the state of Missouri could do to help solve the problem?
Well, the state of Missouri could actually invest in the school districts. These crimes are coming from people not having the resources to make a better decision. So that means education needs to be looked at. That means you know, social services need to be looked at. Adulting 101, communication. Those are issues that are causing the violence. And supposedly we already have one of the best youth systems, you know, in the country. So why are we, you know, trying to override that and send them into the adult system when we can send them into the youth system and they can get the, you know, help that they need?
Is your colleagues want to look at that?
Well, I'm going to take a little exception with part of what she said. In Kansas City, we spend approximately $15,000 to $16,000, I believe, per student. If it's an issue of money makes a better student, then Kansas City looks like and should have some of the best students that we have. My personal emphasis is that I think the school system has the resources, but I think that we desperately lack when it comes to mental health resources. Yeah. For those, you know, we're in a trying time right now. You're kind of locked in your house. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to wear a mask. We're under all these rules. It's financially a difficult time. And you put all that together, and now we have people who are mentally and stressed, emotionally stressed. And if you look at the resources that we put to mental health in this state, it's not a lot. Yeah. It's kind of one of my personal things is that we need to really concentrate more on mental health. You know, if you break your leg and you walk in here, I'm not going to expect you to run a race. But if you have a mental problem and you've got a broken brain...
Can you sell that to your caucus?
I've tried.
I mean, that's a nuanced, intelligent approach, but that's got to, I assume you get some pushback.
I do get pushback only because until I start putting it into the realm of, if you break your leg, then you have an issue that we can see. If you have a broken mind, that one we can't see.
Yeah.
And so we have to change this whole narrative about how do I say I'm having a mental day or I'm having a mental option without a stigma attached to it. Just as we wouldn't look at your leg and go, oh, well, you got a broken leg, you know, We need to change that whole narrative about mental health, about how people look at it, how they feel, and take away some of that, I don't want to say shame, but it seems like that's still out there. And so I would take some of that money that we're looking at for education. I wouldn't move it, but I would say, I'm not going to put another dollar there until we fix the mental health issue.
That's religious. Let's talk about something else. Democrats, I heard them say some local control words this week when they're talking about Kim Gardner and the Attorney General. Mm-hmm. The governor has had a COVID response that relies on local control. What have you thought?
I think that local control isn't a broad, sweep kind of issue. There are some issues that the government should take care of because it's the government's responsibility to take care of its citizens. So, but when you start diving into...
Which issues, yeah, which one of those issues?
Right. It can get tricky. I mean, and it depends on why the issue was brought forward. Was it brought forward it gets really, really complicated.
Well, control, but I think you have a very different state. It's interesting to see how things have evolved between whether you should be local control about schools, local control about the prosecutor, local control about COVID, right?
I'm going to take a little bit different with that. I was in Marshall, Missouri 2 weeks ago and up in Unionville. And in Unionville, when you have more cows in the county than you have people, what happens in Kansas City is totally different than what happens in Unionville.
Thank you. So
I think that if you made a statewide or a nationwide mandate for this, it'd be disastrous. People in Unionville and Marshall, Missouri are not going to wear a mask. I mean, unless there's an imminent threat that they can see, and there wasn't one. And so when I went there, nobody was wearing a mask. But when you come to Kansas City and now you're in a larger, complex urban environment, there's probably a good reason to wear a mask. But what happens Kansas City, St. Louis does not necessarily mean it should happen in Unionville.
No matter where, what part of Missouri you're in, there's only one wonder dog. And
that's
that dog resides in Marshall.
And he's our state dog.
There you go. With a minute left, who won the week?
That's right. Yep.
Who won the week this week?
Let me see. Who won the week? I'm going to say the House of Representatives won the week.
I think a lot of people would be in your camp there.
I have to agree.
That was a gutsy move.
I'm going to talk about they may have won the week for some things they didn't do or how they didn't do them. I'll say one thing you did do, and that's police residency in the city of St. Louis. As long as I've known politics, there's been the St. Louis Police Officers Association has fought to try to let their officers live where they want to live, and they did, that's one thing that did get done, and a great week for them. We're going to be right back after this. We're going to bring on Danny Fife from O'Rooter and talk a little Kansas City economy after this.
Mike Parson served in law enforcement for 22 years, a former sheriff. Parson is tough on crime. Governor Parson is standing up for victims, investing in better mental health services, and cracking down on violent crime and drugs. Governor Parson's anti-crime initiatives have led to the arrests of hundreds of violent criminals and gang members. A former sheriff, a conservative, tough-on-crime governor, Mike Parson is making Missouri families safer.
Welcome back to This Week in Missouri Politics, our third segment this week from our Kansas City studios. Will Reuter of the Kansas City Home Builders Association, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, sir.
And Mr. Kansas City, Danny Pfeiffer, welcome back, sir.
Good to be here.
So, Danny, it's always my perspective as a guest in Kansas City. Kansas City's been booming. It's just been on a roll now. I know it's even more so than St. Louis. It has both sides of the state line to think about. But this area, just like it was rolling, when you talk to somebody in Kansas City, they were excited and optimistic. Then COVID hit. What's been the effect?
You know, I think that's a good question. As I talk to friends and business owners around the city, I think it's been minimal, to be honest with you. I think Kansas City businesses were very quick to move to work from home and transition employees out of their offices downtown or wherever they on the plaza into their homes. Most of the businesses I talk to have had very good success with that. And, you know, I think we've come through it. You're starting to see the city kind of come back to life. If you go out, we're just off the plaza now. If you go out and walk around the plaza at night, the restaurants and bars are open. People are out and about. And I think we've seen the worst of it, hopefully.
So when people start going from their offices to working out of their homes, a lot of them want to build new houses, right?
Well, you said it, Scott. I mean, everything that Danny just shared as well, as our society has kind of adapted to this new work environment, you know, where we live has never been more important. You know, it's where we work, where we educate our kids, where we worship. It's all of those things. And so it has created a re-emphasis on the places that we call home. So now all of a sudden, folks who may have been tired of working at their kitchen table for 2 or 3 months, take a look at the interest rates, and if they're in a position to buy, are saying, you know what, I don't want an office, I need an office.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go out and find a newly built home at a decent price point to satisfy that.
What is it? What you're looking at interest rate if you're decent credit? Not great, not terrible. What can you go look for right now?
I mean, you can get something right around 3%, a little bit lower in a lot of cases. I think the prime rate's at 2.9. So if you've got great credit, you're probably going to be under 3. But anything under 3.5 is significantly improved over what we experienced in 2018 when we had nearly 5% interest rates.
And you're all over the state, similar to myself. There's an optimistic feel. I always heard that Kansas City is the easternmost western city, mm-hmm. and there's a little bit of that optimistic vibe in Kansas City. Explain that to folks that maybe from St. Genevieve, they don't get over here all that much.
Yeah.
You come to Kansas City right now, people are excited to be from Kansas City. Look at, you wouldn't see that in a lot of parts of the state.
No, you wouldn't.
About
you
loving
wouldn't.
That.
Well, I think, you know, you opened the segment talking about the fact that, you know, Kansas City's been on the uptick for a little while now. There have been a lot of great things. The Royals winning some baseball mm-hmm. games helped. A few years ago, the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, having winning teams in town
sure.
always helps. The economy here, as you mentioned, has been very solid. And it's just a general feeling. Some of it goes back to the roots of the city being, you know, kind of the easternmost western town, if you will, a cow town. And I think part of it is just the culture that's been created and good governance and maybe a little bit of luck.
Well, I mean, if you do come to Kansas City and you're not from here, There is a very different vibe for a large city to Kansas City than any other place in the state, and it's a vibe that's generally quite optimistic.
Absolutely. The quality of life that exists here in Kansas City is second to none. And I think it's reflected in the amount of new construction that's going on in Kansas City. Our permits year to date are up 17% this year over last. Mm-hmm. So there's room for growth. Kansas City is a market that can grow 360 degrees all the way around.
Sure.
And so there is a tremendous sense of optimism that exists. It's a cautious optimism. I think people still bear the scars of what happened to the economy 12 years ago related to housing. But what we've seen over the course of the COVID-19 circumstances is a 180 reaction in the housing market. So people are excited to be here, as you talked about. You got the two-state line dynamic, but it's almost its own city-state in a lot of ways.
So walk me through. You have Quentin Lucas now, very dynamic politician as the mayor. Frank White's been on the show. Seems that you don't have this kind of growth without some steady leadership. And you guys really have regional from, you have Clay, Platt, you have the Kansas side, you got Cass County. Break down how important that is to keeping that uptick going up.
Well, leadership matters, very frankly. And, you know, home building is not unlike water or air. It's going to flow to areas where there's less pressure. And so the greater level of regulatory scrutiny or the processes required to put this product in the ground, if they are too restrictive or trying to prove a point, then there are other options for people to build. And, you know, we're going to build homes in places that people want to live at a price point that they can afford. And they have more regional options than simply staying in one zip code.
It's interesting. I mean, you deal with these regulations all the time. Kansas City is a really unique place. I mean, the footprint of the city on the Missouri side is huge.
It is.
So you could live in, what, 4 counties and live in Kansas City
yep.
on the Missouri side.
Yep,
so wherever that pressure is lowest, I guess you could see some of that. Those homes
I think another interesting, you know, I think it's interesting, you hear a lot about the border war, the fight between mm-hmm. Missouri and Kansas over jobs and all kinds of sports teams and all kinds of things. Usually you hear it in a negative context, you know, that the states need to stop fighting. There's also probably an argument that it's created more healthy dynamic for the economy here and for businesses. And in some ways is attractive to bringing new business into the city.
So walk me through the question that just... I love the Cardinals very much, probably unhealthily amount. Why can you go to a Chiefs game, but you can't go watch your national pastime in St. Louis be played?
Well, that's a question for my friends with the Cardinals maybe and MLB. You know, the NFL's left it up to the teams to decide what they're going to do. And based on the state and local ordinances, the Chiefs decided, and we're one of the only teams, as you know, to have fans at the game this past Thursday. They had 16,000-ish fans participating.
I heard a couple people that did go, thought it went all pretty well.
And everyone I know who was there thought it was a pretty good experience and hopefully can become a model for other other teams.
Well, we have Mayor Cruzan on. We have the county executive Sam Page on, the governor. I've offered, if they want to test this, I'll sacrifice and go to the Cardinal games myself. I'll brave COVID and just to see if anything happens, but I've got nothing.
Well, you're an American hero for putting yourself on the line.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
But, you know, I think it just lends itself to the understanding that there's no playbook that anyone's going off of here. We're kind of writing the rules as we go. And, you know, when people are trying to make 30-year investment decisions related to their mortgage, that kind of fits and starts is not terribly conducive to a high level of consumer confidence. So the fact that, you know, we are growing in a housing market the way that we are, or a city the way that we are, I think is reflective of that kind of can-do attitude and saying, you know what, we're going to make the best of these circumstances, and we're going to make the best decision we can with the information available to us.
Give me some dynamics that's going to matter for Kansas City going forward. I mean, you've got a lot of health research here. Walk me through some of the things that are going to be key to continuing the growth in Kansas City.
I think, you know, the business community and local government and state government, for the most part, looking at ways to continue to diversify the businesses that are here, get investing more in tech sector. There's been a large influx of businesses from the West Coast moving here because of the cost of labor, the cost of living. So I think continuing to invest there is going to be critical.
There's an interesting dynamic. You have that downtown with the Power and Light. And now I've seen kind of around that in the last few years, several condo buildings or apartment buildings kind of, it's become almost kind of a ring, like cities have those the bypass rings. You're seeing a ring building around that's Power and Light of condo where people want to live. Maybe they want to live the first 10 years when they're out of school.
When I was a kid, no one went downtown.
Yeah.
And it couldn't be more different now. Everyone wants to be there.
With a minute left, who won the week?
I'd say entities like Veterans Community Project, Project Remember, those nonprofits that are out there trying to fill the gap in these difficult circumstances, serving those who have served us, I think they're the winners.
So I already went with, as long as we've been around politics, the residency for city officers has been an issue.
Yep.
It's the Police Officers Association.
Yep.
Who are you going to say won the week?
I'm going to say the governor. There may be people who disagree with me, but at the end of the day, he got a crime bill out of a very difficult special session. Mm-hmm. He got two of the top priorities as a piece of the legislation that finally passed, and a good start to working on a very, very politically complicated
issue. Let's just break this down politically. People have been talking about crime for the last 2 months. Very good for him. Mm-hmm. And now if those crime rates go up, he didn't get everything he needed.
Exactly. So the conversation will continue.
And it will continue next week from our St. Louis studios here on This Week in Missouri Politics.
This Week in Missouri Politics, sponsored by the Missouri Association of Career Fire Protection Districts, SPIRE, and Sterling Bank.
Guys, thank you so much for watching the show. I want to tell you about a new thing we're offering. It's the Missouri Times Podcast Network. You'll get this show every week. If you want to listen to it in your car, you don't have time to watch it. You'll get our show in Missouri podcast, History of Missouri, one county at a time. You'll also get our midweek update. Once a week, I throw up the Facebook Live. We talk politics, usually eat a lunch and discuss politics. You'll get to hear all those things come right to your phone. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Android. Missouri Times Podcast Network. Please join us and subscribe.